this is creative telephone marketing. You heard Richard Aaron yesterday. Everything's about marketing. You market yourself by how you look, by how you speak, by how you act, by how you smell, by everything. And the telephone is kind of a weird one because you're marketing yourself, and in this business, we're marketing something that's completely visual. Completely visual. And so there are lots of different things that we have to do to create an image correctly in the mind of a customer just simply by talking to them like you're talking to a wall, because you are. So, just how important is a telephone? Where would we be without the telephone? Our little businesses would be absolutely nowhere. And actually, our world would be absolutely nowhere. Where would we be without the telephone? It may be, in some ways, the most important thing, device, tool, electronic piece of equipment ever invented. Simply because it gives us the ability to communicate with people who are nowhere near us. Customers, friends, relatives, whoever or whatever it happens to be, place you want to buy from. And don't forget that without the telephone, there would be no internet. Because it's, for the moment, mostly run through phone lines. And your digital cable system is run through the phone lines. So all those beautiful, high-definition quality pictures you get are basically because of the telephone. So all telephone wires. Yes, they may be lopping onto it and patching it in and doing different things, but it's all part of the telephone wiring system on our planet today. And yes, they use microwaves and different things now too, but just how important is the telephone? Think of having your business as it is structured today and take away the phone. Take away your cell phone, take away your home phone, take away your fax machine, take away the internet, take away all of it. How could you exist? How could you do any kind of commerce whatsoever? And the answer is, as you're shaking your heads, it would be impossible. You can't succeed without the phone. So the phone is super duper duper important. How you talk on it. How you sound on it. Are you friendly? Are you not? Are all critical to actually being able to take an order or sell yourself. And you only have a couple of seconds to impress on a customer whether they're looking at an ad or they're talking to you on the phone. For a lot of reasons. Reason number one is there's a lot of us generally, unless you're in a really small or rural area, in the larger areas, there's lots of people doing what we're doing. Now, some may be better at it. Some may have a lot more experience at it. But in a sense, we're all kind of lopped together. And how do you stand out? When you speak to somebody on the phone, they're going to get an impression of you, like it or not. Good, bad, or otherwise, they're going to get an impression of you. So the easiest thing to do when I'm talking on the phone, if a conversation perhaps is getting a little out of hand, or it's not going quite the way I want it to go, the easiest thing for me is to imagine the prospect sitting in front of me. Why? Because you always talk different to somebody when you're face to face. Always. People are brave and brazen and crass and rude on the phone. And put that person in front of you, and I guarantee you they turn, for the most part, into pussycats. It's a whole different experience when we're face to face. The same could be said for ourselves. When we're on the phone with somebody, and again, if it's not going the way we want it to go, or if it's going down a path that we really don't want it to go down, sit back, look at that chair in front of you or the wall in front of you, and imagine that person is sitting in front of you. And you will act a whole different way. When you're calling somebody, you should identify yourself for the reason for the call. Why? How many people get cold calls from people on the phone? Any of you? Trying to sell you anything? Well, you may be one of those people too with your business, or you may have a real good reason for the call that's important to them. And all you need to do is identify yourself. And you say, well, that's so silly. Of course that's what I would do. Well, do you? Hi, I'm Mark from Life of the Party. I'm returning Jessica's phone call. Now, a really good thing to save you a little time, which has nothing to do with selling, but a time saver, is if you call somebody and they say, "Can you hold, please?" I say, "I'm holding for Jessica Smith." Why? Because they don't have to come back to me anymore. Oh, think they can connect me to Jessica Smith. I'm off of their chain of people on hold. Okay? That's just a little, that's got nothing to do with marketing yourself. That's just to move it along. Move the process along. "I'm holding for Jessica Smith." And they just shoot you along. Okay? You want to establish a rapport with somebody and make them smile. Why? Because humans like to smile. They like to be positive. They like to have a positive experience in pretty much anything that they do. And if we can do that, whether you're self-deprecating to yourself, you've got to be careful with that and how far you go, or just a little, not a joke per se, but just something to get a chuckle out of somebody, is not a bad thing to do, especially on the phone. Because somebody who has fun with you or who smiles with you is going to have a more enjoyable experience with you, and that may make you stand out. Again, you only have a couple of seconds to stand out from the rest. Because for the most part, don't think your customer is just calling you. I mean, if you're lucky and they are calling you, great. You still have to establish the rapport to make them feel comfortable with you. But even if you do, they're probably going to hang up and try a few more. How many of you, when you open up the Yellow Pages, just look for the biggest ad and just buy from that one for sure? Nobody ever puts their hand up when you say that. Right? You're going to the next one. You're going to look for the top five, the top two, whatever it is. So you have to establish a rapport, make them smile. When you remember something personal about them, that means to them, in the back of their minds, that you care. There was a movie many years ago, Alan Alda was running for president, and I don't remember the name of the movie. But what he did was, one of his little boys there in the office, and he had like a little 3x5 index card file. And when he got on the phone with, "Hello, Senator Jones, yeah, how," and he's doing one of these in the background, and they hand him the card, "How's little Johnny doing? You know, he fell down the steps, I hope he's a lot better. Tell your wife Sarah I said hello." Right? Why do we do that? We're more personal that way. And if people feel like that you've taken a real interest in them. So if you remember something personal about them, what you do is you throw it back at them somewhere else in the conversation. Because you're marketing yourself to them. And people like to do business with their friends. Actually, people hate to do business with their real friends. But they like to do business with people they like. You know, when people say, "It's so easy to work with you," you hit a home run. But you have to get to that point to make them feel easy and comfortable. Sometimes finding a common thread is a good thing. It's always a good thing. It's not sometimes. It is a good thing. A common thread could be that you have mutual friends, that your kids are on the same baseball team, that you like to shop at the same kind of stores, you like a certain kind of food, you may be related in some way, you come from the same town, you went to the same high school, you went to the same college, you're in the same, your spouse is in the same line of work. Whatever it is, finding something common makes you more friendly, makes you more accessible. And you find that a commonality with that person, and sometimes they're more at ease with that. Every once in a while they're not. It depends on what that thread is. It may have been the common thread where they had a bad experience with something, and that's your only common thread, and it's like, "Oh man, I don't think I want to be part of that. Let's move on." But generally speaking, finding a thread of commonality between two people is a really good thing. When I say speak in we's, what does that mean? What do you think that means? Speak in we's. Marketing, when you speak in we's, first of all, a lot of us, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of us work out of their homes, our homes. And we're a small company, a one-person, a two-person company. When I started out in 1980, I was in my parents' house in my bedroom with a phone and a pad to take orders, and that was basically it. It was just me. But I always spoke in, "We can do that for you." Of course we can. We'll be right over. What can we do for you today? Why? Because I sound bigger. Company always sounds bigger when I talk in we. I don't like to talk in I. It's not all about me. oh yeah, I can do that. You know, you could say, I'd be happy to do that for you. That's okay. But more times than not, I'd rather say, we'd be happy to do that for you. Our big company would be happy to do that for you. Now, sometimes that works against you. It depends on your customer. Sometimes people want a little guy they can deal with on a one-on-one and know everything about you, and sometimes people like that. We come from the New York metropolitan area, and that, more and more these days, is less and less important. Everything's big. Buildings are big. People have big mouths. You know, the big cars, big houses. It in some ways, doesn't matter. Sometimes it does. You have to be careful when you're finding out somehow about your prospect. And again, you don't always have that much time. Now, if the next step is you get them to come in and talk to you, okay. Now you have more time to discover what's going on. So, what's going on? There have to be effective techniques to get a sale. Because obviously, that's what it's all about. You want the sale. A big problem that I see a lot in these businesses, we're never prepared with the answer. I mean, what does it take to figure out what 100 balloons costs? And if you don't know what it is, you better have yourself or your people with a chart of all the, you know, the main amounts, 100, 200, 500, 1,000, 50, 20, 30, whatever it is, and have that chart. Don't let them stand there doing the math. However, when you do the math, don't sell 100 balloons for $100. Sell 100 balloons for a dollar a piece. Let them do the math. Why? Why? Sounds big. 100 sounds like a lot more money.
Right?
They're only a dollar. Let them do the math. How much are 200 balloons? Oh, they're 90 cents a piece. Oh, 90 cents. Not $180. Well, it's the same. But let them do the math. Now, in this day and age, people can't do the math. So you have to be sure that if they're fumbling around, and again, you're not with them, they're on the phone. And if you can smell the wood burning, it's time to jump in and say, that's $180. And it's not $180. It's as I said it. It's $180. $180 sounds a lot more psychologically than $180. It's the same exact thing when you go into a dollar store and everything's not a dollar, it's 99 cents. When you're buying something for $4.99, it sounds a lot less than $5, doesn't it? It has a feel to it. Just like gasoline. Gasoline is, you know, $2.79. Well, that's $2.08 to me. And it's a 0.1 cent off. But it's not the same. And with certain numbers, you're not going over the certain magic thresholds. 99 is not 100. $9.99 is not $10 or $1,000. There are certain thresholds that your customer may feel uncomfortable with. They may have budgets in the back of their mind when they're coming to you for something. They didn't want to spend more than $25. And they wanted to spend more like $20. But if you can keep it at $24.99, psychologically, they're not way under budget, but in a way, psychologically, they're way under budget. They've accomplished what they set out to do. Don't make delivery and tax part of the sale. Tax? I don't charge tax. I collect tax. I collect tax for the state of New Jersey. I don't charge it. It's not that I'm going to hide it. At the end of the sale, I'm going to give them the total cost. I'm not messing around. But I also don't want, for a couple of reasons, I don't want to make that part of the sale. I don't want to add it on. There's no value to somebody in sales tax. You know, you talk about add-on sales, which we'll talk about. That's not a value item. Sales tax is, you know, it's like death and taxes. It's a bad thing. Don't sell sales tax. Don't sell delivery. Again, you're not hiding it. They're going to know at the end. If they ask you, is there delivery? Yes, there is. And then silence. Not, yes, there is, it's $10. Is there delivery? Yes, there is. How much is it? Where is it going to? What time? I haven't answered their question yet. I answer their questions with a question. We'll talk about that in a minute. With being prepared, knowledge of not just price, but product. You got to know what you're selling. Now, when we're in business, and it's our business, maybe it's easier because we know more about the business than perhaps a staff person would, if you have staff. My problem with my staff is they just never know enough. And at a point, they never care enough either. We always care more about our business than staff does. So we've tried to write notebooks, and it's kind of like, you know, they're this thick, and they're all in there. It's all there, but they have to really care to give the right answer. And if you stumble, well, put yourself in the shoes of the person on the other end of the phone. Do you want to hear somebody fumbling around? Hey, it's just 100 balloons. How much? Which is the magic word, the magic phrase. How much, how much, how much? So you can't stumble around. Stumbling damages your credibility as an expert. Why? Because an expert doesn't stumble. An expert knows what the heck he's talking about. You know, can you do 1,000 balloons tomorrow? I don't know. Now, you may not know. Hold on, please. Let me check that for you. Then stumble. They can't hear you. Ask somebody. Do we have da 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 da? You know, don't hem and haw on the phone. It's not a good thing. If you don't know something, that's okay. Don't guess. It will come back to bite you later. Why? Because if you guess, more times than not, you're going to guess wrong. And the problem in any phone business is that if you say one thing and a couple of days later it comes out different, and generally because it costs more the next time around, it's not that you made a mistake. You're cheating them. We're not allowed to make a mistake. We're just cheaters. And the other problem is, with a really small business, generally speaking, no matter how big our businesses are, we're perceived as, in a way, and I hate to say this, but as a joke. We're not real businesses. We're not making a living. We're not working at this 7 days a week killing ourselves. Well, sure we are. But unfortunately for now, the perception of what we do is way down the bottom of the barrel. So if we're not the utmost professional, we're right where they think we are. And they don't trust us. Now, if you called a more established business and gave them a different price, they would still be upset, but not quite as upset. They wouldn't say, you know, Home Depot, you're cheating me. You know, somebody could there make a mistake. And, you know, two or three higher-ups later, when you get to complaining, they'll either give it to you at the price you thought, or they'll try in their best to explain why that just can't be. Our computers don't say that. The person obviously made a mistake. We're very sorry. It's unfortunate, but it's just different. But with the right information, you have to get back to them fast. Why? Because when do they want it? Yesterday. They don't want it now. They want it yesterday. Correct. Absolutely correct. And the problem is because we live in a FedEx age. Federal Express was brilliant and ruined us all at the same time. Because they proved to people every day of the week that they can do the impossible. They can get me my papers now, not overnight. They can get them to me today if I'm willing to pay. And because they can do that and the internet can do so much, we can do it too. Balloons are like ordering pizza. Be there in 30 minutes. But it's an hour and a half drive. But you said anywhere, anytime. Well, call Domino's in my town and have it delivered an hour and a half away and hear the laughter. But you can't say that. Can't say that. So you have to make sure you know what you're doing. So,